Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain. And today, we're picking up the pieces after the most recent U.S. presidential primaries. Woohoo! More U.S. presidential elections.
That's right, Martin. Americans went to the polls yesterday in Indiana and North Carolina. The suspense leading up to this event was almost... you could just about cut it with a knife.
Thought you were going to say unbearable there, and I had this lovely little segue put in there to your trivia question.
Oh, great. Go ahead. Give it to me.
You spoiled it for me, because if you'd have said unbearable, I could have said, speaking of bears, did anyone answer your trivia question?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And it's I've certainly gotten my fair share of teasing because I was on the side of the bear in this case. Okay. In the summer of 1902, President Theodore Roosevelt encountered a bear in Sharkey County, Mississippi. The long and the short of the thing is that he did not shoot the bear. Yes, it's terrible. Somebody else came along and shot the bear later. But the incident made the national news services, and it inspired somebody to come up with the teddy bear. ATS member Expert 11 is the winner. He guessed that this ursine event took place in Mississippi.
Yeah, that's good news. Yeah, and as you said, he didn't shoot it himself, which is probably a good thing, because it's probably not a good epitaph to be put on your gravestone, really shot a defenseless animal.
No, he didn't shoot it. So, like I said, somebody else did. Even so, the event made the national news, and at least one good thing came out of it, that being the invention of the teddy bear. Although I gotta say, having heard several different versions of this in college, and now being reminded of it again, you know, I'm just never gonna look at stuffed animals.
Hey, anyway, that really is unbearable. Oh, I've got another one in there. When we come back from a short break, I'll try to stump our listeners with my trivia question for this week.
Hey everyone, Doc Hancock here from the BTS Mix Show. The BTS Mix is a lot of fun, but when I need some serious mental stimulation, I know exactly where to go. Our sister shows here at the Above Network LLC. Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous over at the ATS Mix Show tackle a variety of current topics, ranging from hard-hitting events in the news to conspiracy theories to the mysterious world of UFOs. Here you'll find insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their fields. To quench my political cravings, I tune into the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin make sense out of this crazy political climate by discussing member posts, interviewing members about their stances on the issues, and interviewing noted political figures and authors. For politics, there is nowhere else to turn. So come on over and deny boredom with us at the BTS Mix Show, featuring Spencer Tracy and me, Doc Hancock. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be a part of the revolution. It's Above Network, LLC.
We're back, and it's Martin's turn to try and stump our listeners today. What have you got for us today?
Hopefully something that may stump them. My question is, which treaty signed in 1955 makes reference to the General European Treaty?
I can hear everybody running for Google now.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, I checked this on Google first. Someone's going to have to do some digging, hopefully. I'm not boasting, but whoever gets this answer will either be a staggeringly sharp political brain, and let's face it, if you listen to this show, you're going to be smart and you're going to be sharp, or someone's really going to know about history from 1955. But hey, I did some research. Let's put it out there and see what happens.
Well, I certainly don't know the answer to that one, but I do know what happened in North Carolina and Indiana earlier this week. Man, it was quite the rumble. Presidential candidates Clinton and Obama duked it out. Hillary won by the skin of her teeth in Indiana, and Barack Obama just completely blew the house down in North Carolina.
And that's a really interesting thing, because the race is sort of, you'd have to start betting if you look at the numbers that Barack Obama is clearly got an advantage at the moment. And, you know, a lot of things I sort of see in the mainstream media and certainly on ATS is, you know, at some stage, Hillary must be starting to think, can she actually win the presidential nomination of her party?
I'm not sure that that's on her radar at the moment. It looks now like she's only got two real possibilities. The first of which is to stay in the race until she can force him to make her vice president, his vice presidential running mate at the convention. Or, you know, maybe she's just got it in for him. Maybe she wants to stay in the race and mess him up just enough so that he loses to John McCain.
Hey, here's this for a conspiracy theory then. I've got it's panned out. Dream ticket happens. Barack Obama president, Hillary Clinton vice president. Barack Obama dead within 120 days of becoming president. Now, isn't that a conspiracy theory?
There are a lot of people who have speculated that he would not live to see the convention. And, you know, it's not unlikely. I don't rule out the possibility that that Hillary Clinton would have a Vince Foster moment in mind for him if she were really that ruthless and ambitious. But hopefully that's just not going to happen. Now, as to the actual nature of his presidency, unfortunately, we do have some very small pockets of very deep prejudice in certain parts of this country. As regrettable as it sounds, you know, I don't wish this on any American president at all, but we have to admit to ourselves that it's possible, just because hate knows no limits.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can go around the world and see that. But yeah, I just still think, and you mentioned that is Hillary devious enough that she'd be thinking about that one? Well, you know, I've got to say, if there was even a sniff that Hillary Clinton was thinking, well, okay, I'll go down the wire, I'll become the VP, and then I'll get someone to kill him and I'll become the president, you know, I just think that's not unlikely. But I think it's more that, are there forces moving around her, outside her control, outside her influence, that may be thinking, okay, maybe we have to offer something up to the American people. Fine, offer it up. Let people vote for him, then get rid of him.
Let's take the high road here. If she wanted to hamstring him, she could just do enough damage to him during the electoral process here, just before he ever gets to the general election. And she also has the option later on, whether she's vice president or not, every time he does something, all she has to do is look into the nearest TV camera, look sad, and say, you know, I just wouldn't have done that, but, you know, he's the boss now, and that's what the American people said they wanted, so let's just wish him the best.
But do you and I, and we can ask this of a general question of our listeners, do you think that the telephone between, you know, two people in their campaigns, two senior people in their campaigns, are red hot talking to each other, saying, okay, let's start talking turkey, so to speak. What deal, you know, do I need to present? What deal do you need to present? What will your person do? What will my person do? Do you see that happening at the moment?
At this point, I don't. The antipathy, the outright unhappiness, the anger, the hate, the rage between the two teams is so intense right now that I don't think they're actually capable of having that conversation. When she last night on several different news channels, she said that she was going to stay in the race until there was a nominee. That, I think, puts paid that. She's going to stay in until he has clawed and kicked his way to the magic number for delegates. Even at that, you know, you have to always be, you know, look, where are her hands? Make sure both of her hands are visible at the same time.
And that's a valid point. And I know I've touched on it, that, you know, everyone, and I, you know, everyone. Yeah, that's a pretty sweeping statement here. But a lot of people think that it's time that the Republicans went because of the economy and all these good things. But I still go back to it. Could so much damage be done in this campaign that people actually turn around and think, well, yes, do I actually want to give the Democrats a chance? You know, they've really killed each other in their own little domestic campaign, so to speak. And when they come to the general election, I take your point that people will think with their wallets. But, you know, will there also not be something going on in the back of the American voter's mind to say, but hang on a minute, this guy or this woman is so damaged, so flawed. I know everything that's wrong with them. Do I actually think any of these two people are fit and capable to be president of my country?
Well, everything hinges on one question, and that's whether or not the Democrats can hang the Bush moniker on John McCain. If they can convince the voters that voting for John McCain is essentially a third term for President Bush, then they, you know, when we go to the polls, in addition to everything else, we're going to say, no, I don't want any more of this. But if you look at this from John McCain's point of view, what he has to do is he has to cast himself in the role of the wise elder statesman so that when he faces off against Barack Obama, the contrast is very sharp. You know, it's the kid versus the elder. And what you're going to find is that in the general election, adults, which is to say, people with more life experience beyond age 30, they're going to outvote the young folks 3-1. Right now, nationwide, it's the under 30 set that's driving the primaries. But when we go to the general, it's going to be the over 30 set that actually chooses the president.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, you'd like to think that that there's some clever people in the Democratic Party who are in the background desperately trying to think, well, every day this campaign goes on, John McCain and the Republicans and all his team must actually be sitting there rubbing their hands in glee, thinking it just makes our job that little bit easier. Every punch and counterpunch that goes through between a Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, if I was John McCain, I'd be smiling. I'd actually be trying to do everything possible to try and stoke this one up as fast and as hot as I can, because it makes life easy for me.
That's true, and in his own way, he is, because he's staying off the national radar. There are three things that John McCain has to do right now, and he needs relative peace and quiet in order to do it. First and foremost, he needs to learn how to act presidential, and so he's doing that in small town hall meetings across the country. He's polishing his act, so to speak. And you can see this when you watch C-SPAN on American cable television. Each time he makes a new speech, which is averaging about every other day, there's some fine-tuned tweak to his words, his oratory, and his body language. The second thing that he has to do, because the Republican Party is so extraordinarily divided, he has to make friends and influence people virtually one at a time. That's why he's chartered that bus. That's why he only travels an average of about 70, 80 road miles a day, because he's hitting as many constituencies as possible. He's going out of his way to talk to the religious community and the moderates who just don't think he's got the mojo to pull this off. And the third thing that he has to do is he has to conserve his money. He's not making nearly as much contribution-wise as Clinton and Obama are. Last month, he pulled in about $40 million. She pulled in about $30 million. And John McCain was a very distant third at a paltry 14. So if he's going to throw his best pitch during the general election, he's got to be quite frugal now.
But presumably, once it's sort of general election season, presumably, you know, even more money is probably going to come out of the Republican coffers and the people who are pro-Republican. I mean, I think people are probably saying, well, let's hold back. And I'm inclined to agree with you that in many respects, McCain's being very clever, or someone in his campaign is being very clever by saying, stick out of the limelight. Don't get involved in any battles. Just do the thing, as you quite rightly say, go round, you know, meet the people, meet those people that count, just get people on board. And I agree with you, he has to go and talk to the religious leaders, because ultimately he's going to be looking for the pastors to be standing up on the Sundays before the general election saying, there's only one man you should be voting for, there's only one person here who can actually ensure that, you know, we live in a moral, decent country. And I can see why he's doing it. And I think he's actually being advised, I would say, pretty well.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you'll recall, a while back, you asked me for a prediction about who his running mate was going to be. And I said Mike Huckabee. Now, it's no accident that in the last week, Mike Huckabee's been popping up in some very interesting places to speak for the Republican agenda. And it's no accident, says me, that he sounds a great deal like John McCain every time he goes to the podium.
Now, do you think that's because some deal's been done in the background, Justin, or do you think that he's just making a play for it?
It could be either one. I'm inclined to say that the two of them already have an understanding. The reason that I say that the two of them already have an understanding is that if they did not have this understanding, then Mitt Romney would still be trying to shoehorn himself in there. He was briefly, for a period of about 6 or 7 days after Huckabee dropped out of the presidential race, Romney was trying to jump up and down, wave his arms. Hey, hey, I'm over here. I'm open. Throw it to me. But he quickly shut up, and then everybody, in terms of the viable vice presidential candidates, just clammed up. But now all of a sudden in the last week, here's Huckabee and nobody else. So, hey, you know, he's probably the guy, and they're putting him out there in small increments, getting people used to the fact that, hey, every time I turn on the TV, I see him, so that when McCain says, hey, guess who I'm picking for my running mate, nobody will be surprised.
People don't sort of go, huh? Who's he? And I think you're right. I mean, it's like in all politics, you know, there are some very closely guarded secrets, and there are just some of the most blatantly open secrets on the planet. So I don't disagree with you. And I suspect, you know, that's, you know, can you even place a bet now on Mr. Huckabee being the VP? Will people even take your money?
That's a good question. If I was a bookie, I wouldn't, because I would have to think that it's really a sure thing at this point. And in terms of demographics, the way this thing is going to shake out, there's just one deciding factor left in my mind. If Obama picks Hillary Clinton as his vice presidential running mate, then I just don't think, given the mood of the country and the state of the economy, that the Republicans have any chance to win. But if Obama picks anybody else other than her as his vice presidential candidate, then it actually becomes a 50-50 coin toss. For example, if Obama picks Bill Richardson, then he's gambling almost exclusively that the black and Hispanic vote can propel him into the White House.
And is that a realistic thing for him to be doing?
It's dicey, because at least 20 to 25% of white voters are going to have to cross over and vote Democrat. And the way the registered voter demographics work out, about 36-37% of registered white voters are Democrats. So there really is a shot at it. But because the race has become so acrimonious along racial and gender lines, there's 10% there that could go either way. So if McCain beats Obama, he doesn't beat him by much. It'll be another one of these 2000 affairs where George W. Bush beats Al Gore just by the smallest whisker.
Yeah, so long as it's fair and decent and above board, a win's a win at the end of the day.
Well, that's what you and I were raised to believe, but politicians oftentimes ascribe to the notion of a victory at any price.
Yes, and I suspect that whoever becomes president of the United States probably isn't going to change that ethos that I will do anything to win, which is somewhat of a shame, really. But there are other things going on in the world, Justin.
That's very true, and let's talk about those after we come back from this break.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And I'm his co-host, Johnny Anonymous. And we do a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network LLC.
And you know, Johnny, one of my favorites is over on BelowTopSecret.com. It's the new and hilarious BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock, his partner. When you're looking for lighter entertainment, these guys will rock your world with the best of sports, news, television, radio, and general discussion.
Oh, good.
They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is a show that everyone is really going to enjoy.
And if by chance politics might be more your cup of tea, then AbovePolitics.com is going to be right up your alley. You know, the Above Politics show features Martin Bain and Justin Case, and they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation on posts from our members, member interviews about their stance and platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. You know, Dave, this really is your one-stop political shop.
And you're right about that, Johninator. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with Johnny and I on the ATS Mix Show.
Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with our friends Martin Bain and Justin Case.
And then you too can be a part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
God, that was fast. I barely had time to grab another cup of tea.
Martin's referring to the new coffee maker that we just got here in the ATS studio.
Well, one of the perks. You have your coffee maker. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a nice cup of English tea.
Is that what that smell is?
Yep. English tea. Well, actually, it's not English tea because we don't grow tea in England. But hey, that's a long story. And I somehow don't think our listeners are going to be that interested in that one.
I'm sorry. I just every time I hear tea, it's an American thing. I have this flashback. So, the Boston Tea Party, so what can I say?
Yes, yes, we haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten that. Anyway, it seems that the people of London, old London Town, so to speak, have forgotten Ken Livingstone and elected a new mayor, a guy called Boris Johnson, who is conservative. So that means he's from the right or centre-right party in the UK, equivalent to the Republican Party. And it's a fair change because Ken Livingstone was in power for two elections, and all of a sudden it's changed. Boris Johnson's there, and Boris Johnson has he's what you would call as a colourful character, and I would sort of encourage anybody who's listening to go and Google Boris Johnson. He's a tall man with a huge mane of very blonde hair, has been pilloried and sometimes seen as a bit of a buffoon, but he's convinced the voters of London that he is the best candidate to be their mayor, throwing out Ken Livingstone, who I have to say I don't think has done that bad a job. I mean, I suppose the biggest thing that Ken Livingstone will be criticised for with his term is bringing in congestion charging in certain parts of London. If you want to take your car into certain areas in London, you have to pay what is called the congestion charge, which is really a way to tax you for driving your car on certain roads in London. And it has recently been extended further west in London. So that's probably the thing that he'll probably be most remembered for.
Now, do you have any experience yourself with paying that congestion charge?
Fortunately not, because every time I go up to the Big Smoke, as it's sometimes known, or London, I typically take the train or I'll park at somebody else's house on the outskirts of London before I get into the congestion charge. So, no, I usually go by public transport purely because driving in the middle of London is just a thankless task. And I'm sure there are thousands of our listeners saying, yeah, you and me both, you know, not just London, but any major city.
Now, according to the BBC, the turnout was 45%. How in the world did you guys manage that?
Well, because I think people are getting more interested. I've got to say, when I saw that figure, I was quite surprised, because I suppose you have to tier elections in the UK, and people may well argue with this one. And if you disagree with what I'm saying, people, come to the show thread. Tell us that you disagree. Justin and I will look at it. I'll respond. Justin will respond. But typically the tiering of elections, I suppose, in the UK would be a general election. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say probably purely because of the size of the constituency, which is, you know, 7+ million people here, would be the mayoral elections in London. I'm hard pressed here to decide whether it would be local government elections or whether it would be elections for the European Parliament would come next. And then you filter down to county elections, district elections and parish elections. So on the sort of grand scheme of things, the mayoral elections ranks pretty high, ranks number two. I'd be a realistic and say it's a pretty good indicator and barometer of what the people of this country are thinking, because, you know, the largest single constituency has voted. And you're right, to get 45%, that's pretty impressive.
Hey, on average, here during the primaries in the United States, we average 11% per state, and that number will basically triple in the general election. But if we had 45% turnout for the primary or the general election, I'm sure there would be people in the news media who would be rushed to the hospital due to heart failure.
I don't know what to say with people who don't bother to vote or who don't register to vote. To me, that's just a total anathema. It's something that, I know relatives, my ancestors, only 1-2 generations back have died to ensure that I have the ability to vote. To me, it's an important thing. I may not agree with any of the candidates, and I'm quite happy to admit now, I turn up to the polling booth. If none of them are any good, I put a big cross through the whole ballot paper, but I feel it's my duty to make the effort to walk maybe a mile, cast me vote. At least I've made that effort, and I'm a big fan of this one. I'd even go so far as to say I could be swayed by compulsory voting. I could be persuaded by that argument.
Compulsory voting. What would be the penalty if you didn't vote?
Well, I have no idea. Australia has compulsory voting. And maybe what we can do is, here's a little challenge for anybody out there, maybe Expert 11 who lives in New Zealand, before you message me on this one, you have a good grasp of, but hey, someone post in the thread. Australia has that one if you don't vote. And Australia typically gets 90+% of people voting.
Wow. Well, but then again, remembering their past, there's any number of possible jokes to be made there. So let's just pretend I said it and move on. Tell us about this thing with the outgoing Prime Minister of Ireland.
Well, yes. Something I just picked up on, that there's been what they call a new Taoiseach in Ireland, which is their prime minister. And if some of you can remember a question many, many shows ago, Justin, but basically there's been a change in prime minister, and Brian Cowan will be succeeding Bertie Ahern, who resigned not too long ago because of pressure for judicial probes into some of his financial transactions. So it appears that he...
Why, what are the odds that a politician would get busted for having his hand in a cookie jar?
Allegedly, hand in the cookie jar. Thank golly gosh, the lawyers won't bounce this one away. But I think the most interesting thing that Cowan's got to do, and he comes from the Fianna Fáil party, he has to try and push through a referendum on the new EU constitutional treaty. And Ireland is one of the few countries, I think it could even be the only country, that's actually going to have a formal referendum on the new treaty, which is very interesting because nobody else anywhere in Europe is having a referendum on this one. So a lot of eyes are going to be on Ireland. If Ireland say yes, I think a lot of other countries will then say it's good for us to go and ratify this with our national parliaments. If Ireland says no, now that's interesting. That throws the whole treaty out. People are going to have to go away and renegotiate it. Or they can try and do what they did in other parts of Europe. They sort of carry on voting until the people give the right answer, which I'm absolutely against. They do. They've done it in Europe. The last time, 2005, couple of countries tried more than once to get the electorate to vote in favour of what was then the EU referendum or EU treaty. I'm sorry, if people say no, you can't go back to me. It's like, you know, it's like the US presidential election. So I'm saying, well, you actually voted for the wrong candidate. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to run another election and we're going to carry on until you vote for the right candidate. I'm sorry, that's not democracy. If the people say no, the people say no. So
that's what I hear anyway.
Oh, yes. But that's his big challenge. The other thing that Brian Cowan's got to contend with is the Irish economy, which was known as a Celtic Tiger economy, because for a while it was, you know, probably one of the best performing economies in Europe. And it still is a growth economy, but things are starting to slow down a little bit. And he's got to face those challenges. And one of the other things that's happening in Ireland was a country that got a lot of financial aid from the EU, because this economy has now grown. It's now close to being a net contributor to the EU rather than being a net beneficiary. So a lot of things, you know, the whole psyche has changed a little bit in Ireland. But it'd be interesting to see what happens here. And there's also been just a local thing for us in the regions. We also had local elections in the United Kingdom. So that's at our county and then at our district and also maybe at our parish level. So these are sort of the lower local echelons of government. And the Labour Party did rather badly. And a lot of people are now trying to go forward and say, well, if you look at the mayoral elections in London, if you look at what happened with the local elections, you know, people naturally, pollsters will do this. They'll say, right, okay, if we take what happened here and here and we run this forward on the national level, what happens? And they're now saying that, you know, Gordon Brown is going to get fairly heavily swept from power. There's some estimates that if you took those results, the Conservatives would have a majority of somewhere in the region of maybe 120 to 135, 140. And the last time that happened was when Tony Blair came to power and he got a fairly healthy majority in his first term. So a lot of people are now seeing, is this starting to be the death knell of the Labour government? Hey, if you disagree with what I'm saying or you disagree with that view, post on the show thread, because I know there are plenty of people. I've seen a couple of threads on this. People are already discussing and arguing about this one. I got to say, Justin, I do see some similarities with the end of the John Major government. And he came after Margaret Thatcher. You know, before he got booted out, they had some horrendous local election results and basically lost at the next general election. So I think there's history here to say, look what happened in the past. And strangely, the UK doesn't have a tradition of a party being in government for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Three terms and we get, you know, twitchy. We get thinking, ooh, time for a change. Very much like in the US, you know, I know you have some limits on what a president can actually stand, but, you know, what's the maximum number of years that, say, the Republicans or the Democrats have had the presidency?
The Republicans are the ones that that have what they call the third term curse. It is extraordinarily rare for a Republican president to be elected for a third term. Now, we have seen it happen in the later part of the 20th century. George H.W. Bush succeeded Ronald Reagan, but he was a one-term president. And so now the conventional wisdom is that even if McCain wins, he too will be a one-term president, because just like the folks in England there, eventually people just get tired of Republican leadership. And in this case, because their wallets are going to be bleeding, that fatigue is going to be magnified, I think, when we go to the polls in November.
And that's, I know, I'm not a betting or a gambling man that much, although sometimes I do joke I put the mortgage on the line. I've got to say, this is the, I would be very surprised if at the next general election, the Labour government won. The only thing I can see changing that one is, you know, some kind of small international conflict, very much like Margaret Thatcher had the advantage of the Falklands War in 1982, that, in, you know, many people would say changed her ability to win the next general election. So unless, you know, you get some small campaign that the UK can go out there, fly the flag, show its muscle, you know, snot some country and get back some territory, I just don't see Gordon Brown and the Labour Party being back in power. And I probably suspect it will be another 8 years probably before the Labour Party get back in power, because that's how we seem to think in this country. We say, right, you can have one term. Yeah, OK, we're not sure about you. We'll give you a reduced majority, but you can have another term. It's quite rare to go 3 terms, but we're happy to do it. 4 terms, I'd be very surprised on that one. And moving on from politics in the UK, we've got a really exciting interview next week. Do you mind if I tell everyone who it is, Justin?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, I've noticed that a lot of ATS members are always going on about third parties in America. Why don't we have any? Why doesn't someone start one?
That's true. And, you know, there are third parties here in America, and we've managed to score an interview with one of them.
God, we must have sucked on a good cookie to get that one, I tell you. So, who do we have, viewers? Big drum roll. Next week, we are interviewing Lynette Clark, who is the chairperson for the Alaska Independence Parties. Now, these guys are the real deal. They are an actual third party in U.S. politics.
Hey, we spared no expense to get this one.
We must have spent a huge sum of money. I noticed that the coffee and tea jar was a little light this week.
Well, that, and we had to do some backroom dealing with the ATS applause points. That's really all I'm at liberty to say.
So long as you haven't, you know, used any of the tea and coffee money, we shouldn't have a problem here.
Well, you know, actually, I think that budget is fairly safe for the moment, but that is just for the moment. Now, we'd like to remind our listeners that we're open to suggestions for interviews. We're going out of our way to get the best and the brightest that we can. But if you have any insider connections that would hook us up with a good interview, please let us know.
Absolutely. We rely on you to be our eyes and ears throughout the world, whilst Justin and I try and keep our eyes glued. Sometimes we don't see everything. So, got a couple of ways. You can either click on the show thread for this one, or you can U2U us, and we will get back to you as fast as we can. Sometimes there is a lot of traffic in there, so we're maybe not as quick as we should do. So you're going to have to be patient with us.
Hey, absolutely. And please don't forget to check out the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. I just know these guys are going to be jealous once they hear the Lynette Clark interview.
Yeah, but you better watch, because you're going to end up with mashed potato in your chair again.
That is a risk I am willing to take.
That's why we get all the good interviews, because we take the chances.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum.
Ah, another good joke. So, if you're big into mashed potatoes and not so much into the risks, we urge you, we ask you to give a listen to the BTS Mix Show, hosted by our good friends Spencer and Doc.
On that happy note, we're out of here. I'm Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain, and we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.